So this is like week two of the new teaching series. Hopefully just on the screen in a moment or two, something will come. We are looking at what it means to be a church that is living out that prayer that Jesus taught us to pray when it says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And we're thinking about culture, the culture of heaven's kingdom, the things that are the norm and part of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. How can we encourage, create, release that sort of atmosphere, that sort of environment for us as a church? And we're going to look at different themes. So if you've got a Bible, like I say, we're in Ephesians chapter 2 this morning. So Ephesians, that's in the New Testament, which is towards the back of your Bible. If you're looking for it, you're not quite sure where it is, it's one of Paul's letters that he wrote. So we're in chapter 2. I'm just going to read just a couple of verses at this moment. Okay. So Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 18 down to 20. "So now you, Gentiles, are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And the cornerstone is Jesus Christ himself. We are carefully joined together in him. We're becoming a holy temple for the Lord. And through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit." One of the truths that we are unpacking and seeking to work out as a church is this: the church is God's plan to reveal himself through his Son and his kingdom to the communities of this world. So the church is the plan. And I don't know what you think about when you think about the word church. I don't know what immediately springs to your mind when you think about the word church. Maybe it's a building. Maybe it's religious traditions. Maybe it's words like boring or irrelevant. Maybe it's about a group of people who are opposing things all the time. That actually they just oppose fun, those Christians, church. I don't know what's in your mind when you think about church, but one of the strongest words or metaphors, I suppose, although it's not a metaphor because this is actually what it is, for church is family. So it's not what I mean. So what I mean is, like, church is not like a family. Church is family. So it's not like something. It actually is family. That's what this passage at the heart of it has, that phrase. You are members of God's family. And if we want to think about as it is in heaven, the way that heaven operates out of relationship between the ultimate family. It's the Trinity is the heart of heaven. So right at the heart of heaven is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Spirit, and the Spirit loves the Father. And the Son loves the Spirit, and the Spirit loves the Father, and the Father loves the Son. And it's this relationship that's going on, this security of the Trinity is at the heart of heaven. There's this family. where this love is being shared amongst one another. And the invitation of heaven is an invitation to you and I to come into that family, to come into that relationship. John 17 and verses 20 to 25, when Jesus is talking, you can get a picture there of the love that is expressed between the Father and the Son and the Father, the Spirit and the Father, the Spirit and the Son, in those verses where Jesus says, you love me even before the beginning, before I was actually on the earth. There was this love going on between these three, the three. And it's so complete that actually there's a mystery about the Trinity, because it's these three persons, but they're also one. It's three in one and one in three. So we're not talking about three gods here. We're talking about one God. And that's one of the mysteries of Christianity. It's one of the mysteries of the Trinity and trying to explain it. But at the heart of it is relationship. And what we're seeking to do as church is to bring that relationship that's in heaven onto earth. The church is an extension of that family. We are family. It's the secure base from where we discover what we were created to be and what we are created to do. That's what church is about. It's interesting when you read Paul's letters, and I was reading this through this week when I was preparing, in 1 Thessalonians alone, this is one of Paul's letters, he uses this phrase 16 times in that letter. And the phrase is, the way that he describes the people who are reading it, he describes them as brothers and sisters. And all the way through Paul's letters particularly, he uses this description when he's writing to his readers. He writes to them as brothers and sisters. Why? Why use that analogy? Why use that title of brothers and sisters? It's because Paul understood deeply the concept of family. So, we are that family. We are that family. You and I are seeking to live this out. And a few of you will know that over the last few years, we've been on this journey as a church. And we've been moving towards being much more missional, much more living life on mission. And one of the foundations for that is the word covenant. And again, it's not a word that we use very often in our English language in this day and age. We don't use covenant. Perhaps the best illustration of covenant is still marriage, in the way that a man and a woman will make a promise to each other and they will exchange rings as a sign of the promises that they are making to each other. They will enter into a covenant. And covenant basically is the biblical word to describe how God wants to establish relationship with humanity. And we have a triangle as an illustration. There's three principles. Just want to quickly touch upon them because they're so important in the concept of understanding that we are family. The first thing is to appreciate and to recognize that God is a father. So in the scriptures, Paul writes, or not just Paul, sorry, but the writers write things like, this is John in John 1 verse 12. He says, those who've received Christ, those who've believed in his name, are given the right to be called children of God. 1 John 3, one of my personal favorite verses of the scriptures, verse 1 says, see how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. If we're going to talk about family, then we need to recognize that to be brothers and sisters, we must have the same parentage. In terms of the Glover family, my family, I have one brother, blood brother, and we have the same parents. And so our parents and those people who, and I appreciate that in our world that gets quite complicated. And different people take roles, but in a home, there's going to be people who give us that identity, whether that's your blood dad or mom or the person who's adopted you or your stepdad, or there's a number of ways that is expressed to give you an identity of a child in a home. And the scriptures remind us so strongly that what God has done in the story of bringing us into relationship is that he has now adopted us into his family. So let me read to you these verses from Galatians. When it was the right time, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent his spirit, the spirit of his son, into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. So now we are no longer a slave, but God's own children. And since you are a child, God has made you an heir. That principle of adoption is such a key truth for us to understand and to receive into our own lives. That now we have been adopted. Therefore, as adopted children, we are given the same rights as Jesus, the Son of God. So this morning, you and I are sons and daughters of a father. And you might be sitting there thinking, Andy, you just keep going on about this. And I will keep going on about this until it becomes part of who we are as individuals. One of the cornerstones that we talked about in terms of God wants to transform your thinking. He wants to transform your mind. Romans 12, verse 1. And we need to allow our thinking to change. And for so many of us, this concept of being adopted, of being children, of being a son and a daughter, and the result of that is that we are given identity. Identity. We could spend a lot of time looking at identity because so many of us struggle with our identity. Where do you find your identity? Where is your identity rooted? And when we talk about family, it can be quite a painful subject to reflect on. All of us have a story. I looking around, I can see there's lots of stories in this room. Around family, great stories, good stories, difficult stories, painful stories, redemptive stories. But family is still the name that God gives us as his children to use as church. We are family. And in our family, we find identity. One of the greatest things that my parents did for me was that they gave me a strong sense of identity, a strong sense of security. You talk to say, "What?" I struggle sometimes when people don't really appreciate who they are because it's so natural to me. I just know who I am. I don't need, I do need, but you know what I'm saying. There's a sense that I'm so secure in who I am because actually for some reason, my parents seemed to do a great job at that particular aspect of my upbringing. That they gave me a strong sense of identity and security. I know that for some of us, that's not the case. We haven't got that sense of identity. And when we get talking about family, when we start thinking about this issue, then that's what we're seeking to dig into this sense of identity. Where does it come from? How do we release it? How do we deepen it? How do we grow in this identity. And we were listening to a talk recently, a group of us were away, Shirley's made reference to it, to a conference we went to, and there was somebody talking about family and how in family, one of the things that you are looking for with your children is for them to grow and mature. So you want your children to grow. You know, one of the privileges of being in this church for as long as Sue and I have been in it is that we've seen children grow up with in the context of their families. I've seen Megan from the day she was born and before. Not seeing her, but seeing the effect on Sue. When she was pregnant. But I've seen Megan grow up. I've seen that development into a child and then into a teenager and then into a young woman. And I've watched it and I've prayed for her and talked to her parents. And we would the thing that we would be most worried about was if she didn't grow and mature, wouldn't we? You've seen that in some unfortunate families where that doesn't happen, where a child has an illness or a condition or something that stops them from growing and maturing. And even though it's a difficult time, I was saying to somebody earlier that our niece has just gone away to university yesterday, and she's the first one in her peers of our family to go away at that age. Her dad was a blubbering mess. He just couldn't cope with his eldest daughter going. And we were on WhatsApp yesterday, loads, both with Phoebe and with dad and mum. You know, she's only gone from Stoke to Liverpool. If you know anything about Stoke people, that's a long way. But that's part of growth, isn't it? You know, that's part of, you know, if you talk to some of you parents who are parents of older children, those who've now going, you know, empty nesters, to call them that, if that's the phrase you want to use. But you'd be worried if your children didn't grow and develop. And that's what should be happening in this family. We're looking for growth and we're looking for development. We're looking for maturity. We're wanting people to get stronger in their sense of identity in Christ. And it comes primarily from the Father. And then when we've got that, you know, as we've got that going in our lives, then the natural result of our identity is that we start to do something with our identity. We start to put that into practice. In a sense, you know, if we experience God's forgiveness, if you've experienced something of God's forgiveness as this Father, as he's welcomed you back into his family, as you've received from him the forgiveness for your sins and the things that you've done wrong, or then naturally what begins to happen is that you are free to forgive others. So you can begin to forgive other people. And forgiveness is one of those keys that unlocks identity, unlocks freedom. Is that ability to give and receive forgiveness. You know, we are so amazed, aren't we, when we see something on tally where somebody is offering forgiveness for an act of terrible, an accident or a murder or a death or something that's happened, and somebody's able to forgive. And the thing about forgiveness is that forgiveness is done primarily for your own sake. It's not done for the sake of the other person, really. Forgiveness actually frees you up, helps you to move on from the pain and the hurt that you've experienced. We have that ability to love. When you've received love, then it becomes, in a sense, natural to give love. To experience love, the giving and receiving of love is foundational to being family. And so, you know, in a sense, we talk about the direction of this is so important. That we don't want to get our identity by doing things that will please the Father, that, you know, we can get caught up in that. We can do things to try and please people or please God. But actually, the truth is that we are be to do people, not do to be people. So we find who we are, first of all. Our identity as children comes into that place. So if we're going to be family, if we're going to press into that, let me just give you a few principles of what we're trying to do in this church to encourage it, to foster that environment. The first thing that we're trying to do is that we're trying to be leaders who model what this looks like and not control what this looks like. So one of the things about missional communities and the direction that we've gone in is that it's about low control from the center. It's not about me knowing everything that's going on in this church. In fact, I really like it when I don't know everything that's going on in this church. It's not about control at the heart of this. It's about releasing. It's about empowering. It's about affirming the fact that all of us are priests and have that ability as priests to relate to God, have a relationship with God, talk to Him, build a relationship with Him, and then to represent Him to those around us. And that's what you're doing in your life. You are priests of God, a priesthood, part of this family. We want to be a church that is focused more on grace, and in fact, and it's really more all about grace and little about law. We don't want to be a church that does things just because we ought to do it, or because there's a sense of guilt or rule. You know, obviously there are things that are right and wrong, and living life out of a place of right and wrong. But that, again, is primarily fueled by relationship. It's not fueled out of a sense of guilt. The third thing we want to be doing is we want to develop that sense of ever-increasing sense of freedom and wholeness that is available to us. That we don't have to be stuck in a place that is connected to our past, but actually the promises of our future and this future kingdom coming enables us in the present to break that out and to move into the new. Does that make sense? So sometimes we all get stuck in our past, in events or circumstances of our past, things that have happened to us or things that we've done ourselves. And the promise of Christianity is that this future reality and of heaven as it is in heaven is available right now in the present. That will enable you to keep growing. I think it's great to celebrate with people who are always growing, always moving. It's great to hear 28 years since Nigel and Shirley were baptized. And yet they're still going for God. I've met so many people who got baptized 28 years ago, and I'm like, where have you gone? Where have you gone in your faith? Something's happened. You've got disappointed. You've got disillusioned. You've got discouraged. Something's happened to you or through you or for on you, and you've stopped growing. You've just got stuck. And even to see that for some people is difficult. And we need to celebrate within us that desire to keep moving. I hope that in this church we find this is a place where there's lots of acceptance, care, and hospitality. That's a hallmark, isn't it, of family. That there's it's a place of acceptance. And like I was saying, that was one of the greatest things that my parents gave to me, was that sense of acceptance for this is who I am. And so we want to encourage that. We want to foster that. We want to do well at that. As the song says, all you need is love. We want that to be like the oil that makes the wheels work of HBC Chester is the love that we share with one another and to one another. I hope that in this church, part of family is about fun, faith, and reality. You know, sometimes we've all maybe experienced this. I know I have. Sometimes when you visit, I'm not talking about anybody in this room, so don't worry. But you visit somebody's home or somebody's family, and it feels like it's just not quite authentic. You know, they've put a bit of a mask on when you go in. You know, it's not quite what it should be. And we need to pull that down, and we need to be able to be authentic with one another and to one another. We need to be able to have a lot of fun with our faith. There's nothing quite like finding good friends who will walk the journey with you. In fact, I would argue that's probably the key for the perseverance that we all need in our faith, is to find friends. Friends then who really do become family. And there's people in this church that they may not be my blood relatives, but actually they are family to me and Sue. And you are to other people. I know, you know, many of you will know this last week. I hope most of you picked up the news that Bill Bird died, Fran's husband. And one of the things that is so, obviously such a difficult time for Fran and the family, but the way that this church and the people in this church have just got around Fran in this last week, those who are close to her, those who are friends with her that close, and the wider church as well, with texts, I know, or messages to her. That's what I mean, isn't it? Those moments where we need one another, we need to be family in the good times and in the bad times. So let me just encourage you that's, you know, as it is in heaven, is this really dynamic relationship that's going on between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what we're seeking to do is to represent that to the world around us. To be a place of, be a place where hopefully people can belong. Missional communities, one of our little phrases. Just a couple of photos there. This is some expressions of families. The top one, I really like, this is a really recent photo from Blaken Central last Sunday with 45 people at Ed and Lindsay's house. So that's a bit of a crazy family. But maybe that's like Christmas in some people's homes. I don't know. The bottom one is a walk that we went on. I think it was New Year's Day, actually. And, you know, these are the sort of things that you do as family. And this is the thing that we talk about. And we talk about being family on mission. That our life is about just representing Jesus to those around us, to our families, our friends, our work colleagues, our neighbors. So let's encourage that atmosphere. Let's build together that sense of family. Find it in your missional community. Find it in the wider extended family of the congregation of Hall Baptist Church. We find it, you know, as well, with the bigger picture, I suppose, of what God is doing in our city. You know, that's another dynamic of family with his church in our city, where we work together with other churches who are also brothers and sisters, because of our, you know, it's the one church, it's the one family that we have. So let's pray.